You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Civic Media Mornings. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Another day with a lot of Minnesota and Minneapolis-based news, but we've got a lot of other things to talk about. It's just it seems every hour things change with this case. Now the latest, Jamie, we're going to see some body cam footage, allegedly. That's the report. Homeland Security investigators are supposedly, and I have to put these qualifiers on there because, like most of us, I'm skeptical of the government.
Yes.
Why? Because they lie nonstop. That's why. Just like you would if your kid lied to you all the time. You would be
right.
Like, well, I don't really believe it. But anyway, that's supposedly there's body cam footage from this some of these officers, and they're looking at it. Are you confident that it's going to show anything different than what we've seen so far?
No, and I'm not even confident with, as you said, that we'll even see it, or we're going to see an accurate depiction or something that hasn't been altered. I mean, and I hate to be that skeptical of the government, but they've really given us no choice. DHS has literally given us no choice but to be that skeptical in these situations. Apparently, a spokesperson said yesterday that multiple agents were wearing body cameras and that the recordings are now being analyzed. Now, those agents were part of the Border Patrol Tactical Unit, which is a specialized force that typically deploys with more body-worn cameras than standard patrol units, according to the DHS spokesperson. I'm not sure what that means.
I don't understand that. Shouldn't all their officers have the same, just like most municipal departments have? The officers have a body cam, and that's plenty. They've got dashboard cams. That's, you know, that seems to catch a lot of the action.
Usually, you would think, according to body cam footage we've seen in other cases over the years, but, you know, here we are. Now, DHS is saying that Preddy violently resisted and tried to disarm the agent. We've heard what this administration has said over the course of the last few days. Then there's, of course, all of the eyewitness videos that are circulating online, if you've seen any of those, unless you're gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany, who yesterday remarked he has not seen the videos at all yet. Maybe do better.
Then Tom Tiffany is either the laziest human being on the face of the earth in politics. He could be the most just removed from reality because even if you're not looking for that video, you're going to see it.
Right.
You have to really put yourself in a hole to say, I didn't see it. But to use that excuse, which is just, hey, I don't want to upset the orange tyrant.
Right.
I'm going to say I didn't see it. That way I don't have to make a comment one way or another.
It's easier. It's easier that way. He commented yesterday that he wanted to wait because all of the video is always so grainy. So hopefully somebody gives him some clarity and is able to clean things up. Maybe this body cam footage will help him out. I guess we shall see.
I think he just needs a new prescription.
All the video
I've seen has been clear as day.
iPhones are
pretty clear.
We
can see pretty much everything. Even when they zoom in on Alex Preddy's hand to show that he's holding his phone and the other hand is completely empty, even those, you're not like, is
too
that a
grainy
hand or is he wearing a mitten?
Too grainy. At any rate, President Trump yesterday said the administration is reviewing everything and announced that Border Czar Tom Homan will be traveling to Minnesota to oversee ICE operations. We're going to actually get into that conversation a little later this morning. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey said that he would welcome constructive dialogue with Homan, but warned against escalating tensions or spreading misinformation. And then, of course, Governor Walz also chimed into the conversation yesterday, saying that both he and the mayor are under federal investigation, reminding us that this is still, in fact, an investigation over their public comments on immigration enforcement, which, you know, DHS and the DOJ are saying were publicly politically motivated. So that's where we stand.
Governor
today.
Walz and the president had a nice call yesterday.
It was good.
Supposedly, a good call.
Well, when it goes out on Truth Social, I as the official notes, I think we can definitely believe that it was a good call. I think that is those are the official White House notes at this point,
that
after
is.
All.
And I'm sure Caroline Leavitt will have many, many comments
she
on
had
how
comments
great a
yesterday.
Call it was. She is always full of comments. I guess that's her job, but oh my goodness.
Well, she likes to go into that mode, and she will definitely come to the defense of this president anytime she is given the opportunity. So I guess she earns her paycheck on a daily basis. So
this is for him to have a call with Tim Walz yesterday points to potential shakeups, I would believe, at the top of Homeland Security. This is
That be a little foreshadowing into what we're going to talk about later this morning?
could be. So that's another reason to stick around. Hey, this is wow. I love when we have an example of read the whole story, not just the headline, because we were going to give some kudos to a Republican gubernatorial candidate who seemed to be showing some backbone. And yet, Jamie, this story is deeper than we would have imagined.
Yeah, this is another story coming out of Minnesota from yesterday in the fallout of the murder of Alex Pretty. So Republican Chris Maddle announced yesterday that he is ending his campaign for Minnesota governor, citing opposition to how his party and the Trump administration are handling immigration enforcement.
That's
in
a
video
bold statement for a Republican.
Yes, it
Very
is.
Nice.
Now,
Good
in a
for him.
Video posted to X yesterday, and by the way, I watched the entire 11 minutes of it, so the rest of you don't have to. Maddle said that he cannot support the National Republicans' stated retribution on the citizens of our state. Now, when you start out by watching this statement, you think that you're like, okay, this is a major guy. All right,
I like
look at
this
him.
Guy.
Now, he also sharply criticized his own party. Let's cut one, please.
And the reality is that the National Republicans have made it nearly impossible for a Republican to win a statewide election in Minnesota. It is a simple fact.
Okay. You know,
probably true.
Not probably wrong. Now, he went on to say that he supports ICE's original mission to target serious criminal threats, went on to argue that the operation in Minnesota has expanded far beyond its stated focus on true public safety threats. Those were his words, not mine.
And again, two points where you can go, okay, yeah, I think most
I don't disagree
people
so
will,
far.
Will agree with that.
Exactly. Now, he also said that federal actions have created fear among U.S. citizens, including people of color, and called it wrong that Americans feel the need to carry proof of citizenship. Again, I don't necessarily disagree. So we're off to a good start, right?
Yeah, I'm liking this guy already, Jamie.
Right.
There's probably nothing that could turn me against him.
Well, and you might even like him even more, because Maddle also said that Asian and Hispanic law enforcement officers have been stopped by ICE in what he described as pretextual, unconstitutional encounters, and argued that raids based solely on civil warrants without a judge's sign-off violate the Constitution. The guy is a lawyer, right? So he probably knows a thing or two. So I can respect that. His withdrawal, however, comes with some growing political backlash following the shooting of Renee Good and Alex Pretty. Now, this is where it gets a little off the rails, Brian, because
wait a minute. Are you going to tell me that all is not what it seems, that some things are too good to be true?
Yes, some things in this case are much too good to be true, because in this video, this is going to be cut too. He also admits this.
True Americans love justice. Justice requires excellent legal representation. After ICE released my name to the media and said that I was helping Agent Ross, I was honored to receive communications from dozens of attorneys that congratulated me for helping a person in need, particularly during a gubernatorial campaign. But three lawyers publicly criticized me for helping Agent Ross. As lawyers, we take an oath to uphold the United States and Minnesota state constitutions. These three lawyers betrayed that oath.
So, wow. Ross, if you didn't catch that listening this morning, happens to be Jonathan Ross, who is the agent.
That name seems familiar.
Yep, he is the agent that actually killed Renee Good and shot her in the face in the first shooting in Minneapolis. And so this is the gentleman who Maddell has decided he is going to basically help get representation. Now, I don't know at this point if he's actually representing. That is not clear. I'll be very clear about that this morning. It is not clear if he has actually stepped in to represent Jonathan Ross in what is going to probably be a long legal battle. And no charges at this point have been filed against Ross. So we'll also make that clear. But he is definitely there to help make sure he has good legal representation.
Yeah. He's that helping with an application to get Jonathan Ross a lawyer. And I also caught a little whiff of the current administration in there with, just because three lawyers disagreed with him, they have betrayed their oaths. Yes. I don't think we need to always jump from zero to 60. Oh, you went to a protest? You're a domestic terrorist. Oh, you disagreed with me? You've betrayed your oath to the law. No, that's not how it works. They have the right. Listen, I do believe everybody deserves competent representation.
Sure.
But also, you have the choice as an attorney to not take a case. Nobody's forcing you, unless also you're a public defender and the judge says you need to represent this person, you don't have to take a case. So let's not make everything a big deal. Let's be realistic and let's tell the truth.
Right.
If you do represent him, it's your choice. You're going to make a lot more money than you would be in governor. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot more notoriety for a potential run down the road. And you're covering your own butt because, yes, Minnesota would be a hard place for a Republican right now. And I don't care how moderate a Republican you are, this administration has done you no favors.
And that's what this more seemed like, right? This is when you watch the video, and if you have 11 minutes and you need a good time today, I mean, sure, go for it. I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah, but you're going to have your high hopes and then they'll be dashed. Do you,
you
want
really
that
do.
In your spare 11 minutes?
The first couple of minutes, I was like, okay, all right. I can, this might be a moderate guy. I can see where this is going. And then we got about 5 minutes in and I was like, nope, this is the same talking points that we've heard. Actually sided with the president on many, many issues that he agreed with, including calling protesters agitators in his video where he basically steps down from this gubernatorial run and then kind of loses me when he goes into the Jonathan Ross trope. So if you've got 11 minutes, knock yourself out today. It's cold. You need something to do, right?
I don't have that kind of time. Mark says on the text line, and you can always jump in the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. With ICE, more than likely has been destroying or not maintaining evidence in the murders of Renee and Alex. Yeah, there's a good chance, again, that this body cam footage that we will supposedly, that's being reviewed, allegedly, will not make it. There's always some technical issue. Technical issues happen.
Yes, I understand.
Not on every body cam, I would imagine, but who knows?
We'll see
what happens.
Maybe it'll be less, not grainy enough for Tom Tiffany to actually take a look this time. We'll keep our fingers crossed for him. It is 6:19 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. Measles cases breaking out in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that next. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's 6:22 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're in Oshkosh and Appleton, you're listening on WISS. If you are in the Eau Claire area, 93.5 The Tap, or in La Crosse on WLCX. Thank you so much for joining us. Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. A balmy morning in Madison, comparatively. It's 6 degrees, so over zero.
Wow.
We're moving up. Yeah, this is all.
A little wind, though. A little wind again today. So, you know, you get the warmer temperatures. And when it's sad when you say that six is warmer.
Six. Well, I didn't say warm. It's warmer. And we deal in facts here, so it is warmer.
It is warmer.
Here's the fact. Despite the existence of a vaccine that's about 97% effective, a lot of people aren't taking it. Gee, I wonder why.
Mm.
But that has led to, over the last couple of years, we have watched a resurgence of measles, a disease that was mostly gone. And yesterday, Wisconsin has confirmed its first measles case. It's in Waukesha County. And it's all because of one thing, really, Jamie, and that's people not getting their kids vaccinated against measles.
Yeah, and in this particular case, it is actually linked to international travel. Officials at the Department of Health Services obviously have not released the patient's age, gender, or vaccination status. And so far, there's no public exposure sites that have been identified. Local and state health officials are working to notify anyone who may have come into contact with this particular individual. And this case, of course, comes after a major outbreak just last year in Oconto County, where 36 people were infected with measles. Now, you were mentioning the fact that less people are getting vaccinated. We come with the facts and the numbers, because as you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, we like to do that around here.
Of course.
Yes. And
I didn't say that lightly. I didn't say that to rile up the anti-vaxxers.
No.
It is true.
There are numbers.
Tell them the numbers.
From the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, this is where these facts come from. 416 confirmed cases of measles so far in 2026. What are we in? We're 27 days in, and we have 416 confirmed cases.
Large, we're doing good.
We're great. Don't go to South Carolina, because that's where the largest outbreaks are happening right now, also along the Arizona-Utah border. Now, last year, the U.S. recorded more than 2,200 cases, which was the highest total since 1991. Yay us.
Wow.
And there were also three deaths, unfortunately, associated to the measles cases last year, all among unvaccinated individuals. Now, health experts also say that the declining vaccination rates are driving this particular resurgence. Huh, weird how that works. In Wisconsin, only about 81% of two-year-olds received the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine in 2024, which is well below the 95% needed for community immunity. In Waukesha County, vaccination rates have also dropped from about 90% back in 2019 to about 85% last year. Also not hitting that community immunity number. MMR vaccine, just in case you're wondering, is about 97% effective. Health officials are urging residents to check their immunization status through the Wisconsin Immunization Registry. So, yeah, if you're worried, maybe take a look, see how things are stacking up for yourself and your family and maybe all of your loved ones.
You know, if you're an adult and you make the choice not to get a flu shot or a COVID vaccine or any other vaccine, that's fine. If you have a child and we have proof that these vaccines will keep, measles had pretty much gone away.
Mm-hmm.
All these diseases that we didn't think were coming back because science had created vaccines that would take care of them for children, especially like you can be an adult and isolate.
Mm-hmm.
Children are in groups. They're in school. It's you owe it to your child to protect them.
Yes.
You owe it to everybody else's children to protect them. And the internet is a great tool, but the internet has been the bane of healthcare throughout this country because everybody thinks they can do their own research. Doctors go to school for a long time.
Yes.
And they have residency and they have everything else. And I'm still one of those people who believes doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I want another opinion.
Sure. That's all right.
That's fine. But that doesn't mean the first doctor is wrong. That means I don't like what the first doctor said, so I want to see if somebody else is going to agree with me.
Yes.
And then two doctors say the same thing, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm not a doctor. Okay.
Right.
Let me figure that out.
There's a reason they spend so much time in medical school learning things that the rest of us have not, right? I mean, essentially.
Right. It's okay to admit that somebody's smarter than you.
I love it when people are smarter than me. I need smarter people around me because I don't always make the best choices for myself. Let's be realistic.
So,
if you want to chime in on this discussion this morning, you can do so by calling or texting us 1-855-752-4842. That number again, 1-855-75-CIVIC. You can even text us through your Civic Media app, which, by the way, you can get in your Google or your Apple store for absolutely free. And listen over there as well. Mark in Prairie du Sac saying that he got tested to see if he still has measles immunity, and it's still there. He had to do so when he was getting ready to get a new job. So,
I would like to, and listen, I'm not going to yell at you. My stance is you should get your kids vaccinated. But if you decided not to get the MMR vaccine for your child, I'd like to. I'm actually curious why. Mm-hmm. Who convinced you that it was a bad idea? What's your background to make that decision? And are you now, when you hear it, okay, now measles are coming to Wisconsin again, does it worry you at all?
Give you some pause. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know with my own kids, because I had one on the spectrum, this was at the time when, you know, everybody was linking vaccines to autism. When our second one came along, we went ahead and we spaced out his vaccines, but all my kids were still fully vaccinated. We just spaced them out a little bit. So we went through the proper procedures.
Yeah.
We went through the proper procedures. They turned out okay.
I hated when you take your kid and they'd give him seven shots in one day.
That's so
spacing
hard.
It out sounds more humane.
Yeah, just took us a little longer. 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Bye-bye, Bovino. We'll talk about it after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right now, we hope you are having a great start to your morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Big news coming out of the Trump administration last night regarding Minnesota and ICE. Greg Bovino, you know Greg, he of the stylish coats and the strange haircut and his tiny stature and his need to be all things tough guy. He's being replaced. He's being sent out of Minnesota, he and some of his agents. He's basically being demoted. But before you start cheering too loud, his replacement is coming. And not really that big an improvement. I saw a meme, and I will paraphrase it. Replacing Bovino with Tom Homan is like pooping your pants and changing your shirt. So I thought that was apt, and I'm usually not a meme guy.
Yeah.
The Boyquarium is shocked that I even know what a meme is, but I do.
I think they're shocked by the fact that we can throw around any modern day language once in a while.
It's impressive. It's
exactly.
Impressive. All right.
Thank you. We try our hardest. We thought it would be interesting to not only share a little bit about this current situation that Bovino and Homan find themselves in, and then take a look back at to who these two individuals are. So let's start with where we're at currently. You mentioned that he's getting sidelined, that Greg Bovino, that is. Now, what I thought was very interesting is late last night, we found out that DHS had actually suspended his access to his social media accounts, effective immediately. Yeah, he spent yesterday responding to people who were criticizing him and raising questions about his unverified claims about Preddy. So Homan will be the main point of contact more than likely as soon as today. They are making this switch very, very quickly. Now, administration officials were frustrated with how Bovino and DHS Secretary Kristi Noem had handled all of the public fallout from this weekend shooting. They were worried about this weekend. Forget the one that happened 2 weeks ago. Let's focus.
Let's remember that the administration is coming out now against that.
Yes.
After parroting a lot of what Noam and yes. Bovino said and creating it, their own firestorm. Once they saw that, hey, people in Minnesota and across this country are fed up. That's the only, it's not altruism that is changing their tune. It is right. not a deep respect for the American people or the rule of law. It's, wow, we really made them mad.
Right. And in fact, Kristi Noem herself actually angered this administration by labeling Preti as a domestic terrorist. And because our day would not be complete if we didn't hear from our White House press secretary, she actually had to go on the defense yesterday. This is her exchange with a reporter. Cut three, please.
To follow on Gabe's question, Secretary Noem said Alex Preti committed an act of domestic terrorism. Stephen Miller labeled Preti a domestic terrorist. Does the president agree with them?
Look, as I've said, I have not heard the president characterize Mr. Preti in that way. However, I have heard the president say he wants to let the facts and the investigation lead itself.
So, no, we haven't heard any of that. It's kind of like Tom Tiffany not seeing the video. It is essentially what
it
is.
We haven't heard it. We haven't. And now it's Mr. Preti.
Yes.
Not a would-be assassin who was coming to cause mayhem.
Right. Elevating Homan is, there's a little tension here within the administration, because elevating Homan is actually seen as a slight to Kristi Noem, who has had a bit of a power struggle with him, according to reports. Now, Bovino previously led aggressive federal deployments into Los Angeles, Chicago, mm-hmm. Charlotte, and New Orleans. His tactics, including publicized raids and property damage, grew a lot of criticism from local officials and some within his own agency. Now, in fact, in Chicago, and we're going to talk about this in more depth here in just a second, a federal judge actually found that he lied about being struck by a rock before authorizing tear gas, which undermined all of his credibility, which is where,
once again, video is rough.
It is.
It catches you. It's
a little weird how that works, right?
Yeah.
And this is where we wanted to get into a little background, because we wanted to refresh your memory on what happened in Chicago. This was not that long ago, only in November of 2025, which really in this administration feels like an eternity ago, though.
Yeah. It does feel a lot longer than just November.
Every day is long.
Right. Every day is long. Every week's a month. Every month's a year.
That's right.
It's insanity.
That's right.
But yes, he did not fare well, Greg Bovino, in Chicago courts, thank goodness.
No. In fact, a federal judge described him as, quote, evasive, not credible, and outright lying during sworn testimony about the agent's use of force. This was Judge Sarah Ellis, and she made...
And you don't want that on your record.
No.
You don't want that in the transcript.
No. Is that a badge of honor for this particular administration? I can't believe anybody was offended by that, but here we are.
Right.
So the judge actually made the findings in this civil lawsuit that was against the Department of Homeland Security, which stemmed from the Operation Midway Blitz that was occurring in Chicago at the time. And the judge actually wrote that Bovino gave, quote, cute answers and was untruthful for over 3 days of recorded depositions.
And yet he did not lose his job or get demoted at that point. It's
right.
Like, yeah, you did. Good for you. You did your job. You lied for us, and keep doing what you're doing, haircut.
Right. So there was video that showed him ordering tear gas to be deployed against protesters, despite an agent saying that it was completely unnecessary. Now, Bovino actually admitted under oath that he gave no warning before deploying tear gas at the crowd. And despite this, he also testified that, quote, all uses of force, this is right from his testimony, because did a little reading last night, all uses of force have been more than exemplary. That's what he said under testimony in the depositions.
Hence the judge calling him outright lying, saying he was outright lying.
Yes. And so Judge Ellis then found that he lied when denying that he tackled a protester, despite the video evidence. Again, believe your eyes, not what they're telling you. He also gave conflicting stories about being hit by a rock before using tear gas. DHS initially claimed that he was struck. Video and testimony, again, that pesky video. It's kind of like Scooby-Doo, those pesky kids, right? That pesky video and testimony later contradicted that account. He ultimately had to admit under oath that the rock did not hit him, and later said tear gas was deployed before any rock was actually thrown. So then Judge Ellis at that point concluded that DHS's, quote, widespread misrepresentations called into question the credibility of the government's entire account. But again, he stayed in his position.
Does that sound familiar? That's, you know, that was November in Chicago. We heard the same arguments in Los Angeles. We heard the same arguments out of New Orleans. We're hearing the exact same playbook being rolled out in Minneapolis. It is, I don't understand how, my mom used to say, how can educated people be so stupid? Now, I don't know what kind of education these people have, but how can grown-ups be that stupid? If it didn't work for you in Chicago, it didn't work for you in L.A., it didn't work for you in New Orleans, and it sure as heck not working in Minneapolis because we see it enough, and now we've got affidavits in Minneapolis of witnesses, you got to either tell the truth or change your playbook because it's, we got you. We got your number.
Yeah.
Nobody believes this.
Perseverance? Is that what it is? I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
can you? I guess you can persevere with stupidity.
Sure.
If you're aggressively dumb, then you know. I used to use the term for some people aggressively untalented.
Sure.
Where they believe they're so much better than they really are, and nothing will dissuade them.
Right.
I find it hard to believe though that any person, rational or not, can tell this many lies, and it's the whole administration. It's not just Greg Bovino. He's just part of the cabal
right.
of dishonesty, which is another T-shirt I'd like to have made.
Okay, I'll make note.
Aquarium, please. The cabal of dishonesty.
I'm going to write that down.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how they can keep telling the same lies without even changing things up. It's always domestic terrorism, fear for our lives, blah, 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 blah. Nobody's buying it, so
no.
Why keep trying to sell it?
Well, they're going to keep trying to sell it, because if you think Greg Bovino's bad, let's get into a little background
right.
just in case you forgot about
Please.
The border czar, Tom Holman.
Oh.
And let's be realistic, that is actually the title they have given him. That is not us just making up names.
No,
he
no,
is
no.
officially
this
called
is...
the border czar, Tom Holman.
And this guy is not an upgrade.
No, he is not. He's 64 years old. I want you to know the full scope of this. So we're going to...
Please,
yeah. So he worked in immigration enforcement for 4 decades. He actually started as a Border Patrol agent in 1984. He joined ICE mm-hmm. in 2003. He led ICE's enforcement and removal operations. Now, this might shock some of our listeners, under President Obama. Mm-hmm. He received a presidential rank award in 2015 for performance. He is known for his role in family separations and hardline enforcement policies. Boy, that's something to be known for. Let me tell you.
He was the guy, he was the face of all the separations.
Yes.
And when the whole uproar about kids in cages and all of that, Tom Holman was the public face of that.
Mm-hmm.
And man, oh man, if you didn't know Tom Holman before then, you knew him then, and it was hard to see any humanity.
Yes. Now, he was asked to stay on by President Trump's first DHS secretary, John Kelly, back in 2017. And that's when he became what a lot considered to be a top immigration official. Deportations peaked at 432,000 in 2013 mm-hmm. under President Obama. They never exceeded 350,000 under the president's first term. Now, Holman, if you're wondering, he supports targeting all undocumented immigrants, not only those with criminal records. In fact, he has made some comments back in February of 2025 about your legal status and how that should play out. Cut 4, please.
If you're in the country illegally, you're on the table. Because it's not okay to, you know, violate laws of this country. You got to remember, every time you enter this country illegally, you violated a crime under Title 8, United States Code 1325. It's a crime. So if you're in the country illegally, you got a problem.
That was him again, less than a year ago. Okay.
And see, if I may, that's a statement that I think most people
could agree
with. If
you
took that statement, just that statement, you go, yes, he's right. If you break the law, you should be, you're accountable.
Yes.
Oh, that's the problem. See, we get pulled in by something like that.
Right.
But then it spins, Jamie.
It does.
So spin it for us.
Because he I can agree with what he said there. But he also defends deporting long-term residents with U.S. citizenship, children, and U.S. children, and also citing that it's because of part of due process. He advocates for worksite immigration raids and aggressive enforcement, and he actually pledged in 2024 to run, quote, the biggest deportation operation this country's ever seen. Now, he also comes with a little baggage, right? He was actually investigated after allegedly accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents posing as business people back in 2024. That little scandal got swept right under the rug.
That went away quick, and Bulldog Levitt just defended that, and then suddenly it was gone. It was like, wait, we got a guy who allegedly took a bribe, and he's...
Well, amazing what happens when you're working for the President Trump Justice Department.
When you are connected, you are connected.
That's right. And the White House framed this entire probe as an attempted political entrapment by President Biden's administration. So that is who is now running this operation in Minneapolis.
All right. Well, it's like pooping your pants and changing your shirt.
The meme still applies even after all that.
Yes, it does. So now we've taken a trip down memory lane. That's enough.
It's 6:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. E-bikes, problems. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 6:52 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, Wausau, listening on WXCO, and of course, Richland Center. We don't want to forget about them, listening on WRCE this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the program, we'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. That's the phone. That's the text. So reach out. Get a hold of us. We will... Well, we like hearing from people.
We
even
do.
If you disagree, that's okay. We, you know, we're not we don't set ourselves up as ivory tower elites.
These are just our opinions. So if you have a different opinion, we'd love for you to share it with us. We're
but
cool
remember,
with that.
Our opinions are backed up by facts.
We try.
We got the receipts.
We do. Yeah. We try. I do spend a lot of time researching to bring those receipts.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Here's a question for you. What types of regulations would you like to see put on e-bikes and other similar devices? And the reason I ask that, Jamie, is because in Madison, more residents are riding electric bikes, scooters, those kind of things. And those devices and those riders are being blamed for an increasing number of injuries and frustrations of pedestrians and drivers because they're, oh boy.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. This is a hard discussion for me because I am not so good on the bicycular units of life.
Really?
No, I don't have the coordination. And for the longest time when I was growing up on my tricycles, on my Hot Wheels, I went backwards. I went backwards everywhere. This is a real story.
This may start explaining things. Gentlemen, this definitely goes on the list.
This is going on the list. Yep.
Put riding tricycles backwards.
I did.
I didn't even know a tricycle could go backwards.
Oh, no. It definitely goes backwards. I'd be there with my little bell just dinging it and jingling it. I'd just be going backwards everywhere. It was not my parents' finest, most proud moment. Let's just put it like that.
We need a video. Wow. We need a video of that, you know.
See, that's Dom, that's why JB and I are protected from a lot of things because there was no video. If there had been cell phones with cameras back even in college, I'd probably be in jail.
Yeah.
But now you got no proof. You gotta come at me with some evidence, y'all. Right. Well, the reason I brought this up is because There's bans in different cities throughout the country, and local bicyclists and planners don't want those kind of regulations going into effect here in Madison.
Right.
You know?
So. I mean, when you look at places like Chicago, especially in the suburbs, the village of Glenview recently banned e-bikes and e-scooters from all public property, including streets, sidewalks, and shared use paths. Similar bans are now in place in parts of Florida and Southern California. And even at the state level in New Jersey, they've gone even a little further than that, passing a new law requiring licenses, registration, and insurances for all e-bikes. Alicia chiming in on our social medias this morning saying e-bikes need to be off all sidewalks and required to comply with road laws. So thank you for chiming into that conversation.
I agree with that 100%. That seems like it should be the baseline, because here we've got those divvy bikes, mm-hmm. you know, where you can rent. People have no idea how to ride an electric bike. They're not stopping at crosswalks. They're zipping through intersections. And as much as I would feel bad if I hit one.
Of course.
But I don't think I would be legally responsible if you come zipping through and you're not obeying the rules of the road.
I mean, that's just it. Just because you're on I think this goes to anything you're riding, unless you're me, who just won't attempt to, because
well,
I'll
you'd be
backwards.
Going backwards, so traffic would stop anyway, just to go, what is this woman up to? Bell is very nice.
I am my own circus act. I really, truly am. But I think if you're on a device, whether it's an e-bike, regular bicycle, you still have to adhere to some rules, right? I get pedestrians always have the right of way, but in this case, let's be a little smart for your own safety as well. E-bike sales actually rose nationally. There we go. I'll get the word out yet. From fewer than 300,000 in 2018 to over 1 million annually by 2021. By the end of 2022, a lot of Americans had taken half a billion e-bike and e-scooter trips on rideshare systems alone. That is all according to the National Association of City Transportation Officials. Now, here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Bike Federation, as well as other cycling groups, really worry that leaving the regulation of electric micromobility, that's a word I never thought I'd use in an actual sentence, devices to local government leaders could result in a patchwork of different rules like they have in the Chicago suburbs, where the same behavior becomes illegal after crossing municipal lines. And I think that's the other problem, too, right? Is if you have cities that are close together, then different rules apply. And all of a sudden, you don't know what your rules are necessarily.
Exactly. And I mean, imagine if, and they kind of do, but speed limits change from area to area, not statewide. I mean, nationally, we have speed limits, but you could be driving down a country road and all of a sudden get to a tiny town and it goes from 55 to 25. Well, that's what these. And the problem is with regulating these micromobility machines, which sounds like a commercial on a kid's cartoon show on Saturday morning. There's not the stats. So hospitals are treating people, but they're not classifying these as exactly. Oh, they were riding an e-bike, so they got hurt. And so that's where some of the numbers get a little janky, and people aren't sure how we regulate this, because we don't really know the extent of the injuries. We just know there are some. And there used to be, we had a scooter program, too, in my neighborhood. We had the electric scooters and the electric bikes. And those electric scooters would be just littering the curb. You know, people would leave them on the sidewalk. They're dumping them in our in our yard. It's like, all right, there needs to be certain rules and regulations, and cities need to take a look at some.
Don't
of this
go backwards stuff. On them. Don't go backwards.
No, don't ride your bike backwards.
That's a special act that only some of us are able to accomplish.
I'm shocked that that's even physically possible.
Oh, it is. Trust me. 6:59 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and I drive correctly. is there going to be a government shutdown? We'll find out. We'll talk about it after the news right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.